Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
We love to keep it spicy. It is too damn Friday for all of us today. We're here to lift you up amidst a very, very long week. Now, in about 15 minutes, I challenge you. Yes, I'm talking to you in your car listening here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I challenge you to dance with us. So get ready. We will have a very good time. Janae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Janae Ogwumike, and I guess I should just keep saying this because this might be my only chance. Notre Dame's Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Oh, here we go. Now they're playing the Notre Dame fight song.
Listen, you got to lean into these moments when they come here, Janae, because every once in a while we've seen these big-time games go wrong for Notre Dame, and so I've got to enjoy the week leading up
right, and
make sure that I'm out here getting all of my issue gear out of the closet, letting everyone know about this, just in case things go poorly and I have to go into hiding next week.
Yeah. I think we should get the Clemson fight song, too, based on our next guest. But first, you know, in about 10 minutes, we will tell you whether there really is a scenario for both Notre Dame and Clemson. Yes, Notre Dame and Clemson to make the college football playoff, all to get you set for their kickoff on Saturday. But first, we are excited to head back to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to get the take of Eric McLean, because he is our ACC Network football analyst. And during that time at Clemson, where he was an O-lineman, he obtained the most wins, 46, by a single player in Clemson history. So we're so excited to have you, Eric, joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, guys. It's been fun to watch you and see this thing grow. You gotta stop with the dancing with Jordan Cornette, though. It's bringing his rep down on the huddle. It's really hurting him.
Look, I feel like the Notre Dame slander is appropriate from Eric. Okay, now, Eric, we've been debating this all day. Okay, no Trevor Lawrence, obviously, in this matchup. But who feels more of the pressure going into this one?
You know, for me, it's really Notre Dame. You know, I think when you look at how they have played in recent history in these top matchup games, it has not been good. It's 1-19 versus top five teams in the past 20 years. And so you're looking at kind of that expectation when Notre Dame gets these opportunities, it's for them to lose. So in my opinion, it's looking at this opportunity at home, a team with Clemson that is riddled with injury and guys being out because of COVID. You have to take advantage of this, number one, coming to town and get a big victory.
Eric, I'm curious because we've seen and heard all different arguments on the pressure going into this game. But listen, you do such great work as a part of the ACC Net. We love having everyone from the ACC Net around the building here. I'm curious what the temperature is like from the rest of the conference in this, because Clemson's been the big dogs for a while. Notre Dame's a newcomer this year. Would the rest of the conference rather see Notre Dame lose or see Clemson lose in this matchup?
You know, it's really interesting, right? Are you tired of seeing, you know, the orange paw on top of this conference? Are you ready to see someone else? And is that someone else a newcomer and someone that might only be here for 1 year in Notre Dame? So that's a really interesting question. If you guys do any kind of Twitter polls or something like that, you should put that out to see what these fans feel, because I almost think that it would be in favor of seeing Clemson win and beat Notre Dame, just, again, having that, you know, ACC blue blood, a team that's been here, done that with the league, rather than having the new kid on the block come in and you know, just kick everybody's tail.
Oh, I totally get that energy, because we face, you know, Notre Dame at Stanford every year, and they tend to end, you know, win the end of the bargain often. So I accept that. Eric McLean here with us, ACC Network football analyst on Janae Gold Jr. Now, you know exactly what it is like. You've been in the trenches. So can you take us there? What message from Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney got you ready to really take on this matchup and this challenge ahead?
Yeah, you know, really, when I played Notre Dame in 2015 and just understanding how big of a brand Notre Dame is, that gold helmet, when it comes to town, you know about it, the history, the tradition, all the success that they have had in the past. And again, just a really big college football brand, you know, in this country, it means something when those guys come to play, when you play them. And Clemson at that time was really trying to, you know, step on to the national scene on a consistent basis. That was really the you know, the foundation of it. And so for us, it was just going out there and really giving our best shot, understanding that everybody was going to be watching, especially when the Tigers and the Irish come to play. So that was something that we understood and we knew this was going to be a really big moment.
Talking to Eric McLean with us here. one of the great ESPN college football analysts over at the ACC Network. And Eric, we've focused a lot on Notre Dame on this show for understandable reasons. But on the other side, I'm curious, through the one game sample size you saw of him, DJ Uiagalelei, who is certainly an all-everything recruit, a guy who we think has a bright future and likely a first-round future, like Trevor Lawrence, who will be in front of him when he comes back. What did you see out of him against Boston College that you liked, and what did you see out of him against Boston College that maybe concerns you going into this game?
Yeah, you know, I think when you see him just physically, and then when you see him up close, it's different than on TV. This dude is huge. He is a big, big prospect, a guy that has all the physical traits you want in a quarterback: size, athleticism, arm talent, arm power, which I think are two distinctive different things. He can throw those, you know, Patrick Mahomes type plays, but he can also bomb it out, you know, 60 yards down the field. So when you mix all of that together into a young guy, and you think, is a moment going to be too big for him? Is being down 28-7 going to be too big of a moment? And it wasn't. He was not overwhelmed. He wasn't ever, you know, griping or complaining if things weren't going quite his way. He just stood in there and delivered time and time again. So I think that was very important to see just from a young guy, a young freshman who, again, had never faced really adversity in his career, to be down in a game like this. It was really important to see how he, you know, just responded and bounced back no matter what. There were some things, you know, Mike, when I saw him throw to the left a couple of times, there was a couple overthrows. And again, whether that was guy just wasn't open, he was throwing it away, or if that is a problem for whatever reason, throwing left, it's something to watch, and I'm sure it'll be exploited quickly against Notre Dame, because they're not going to let him have anything. He's going to have to go take it.
All right. No matter how cool, calm, and collected Mike Gold Jr. is right now, I'm going to keep it real. I think this man is nervous, okay? So can you at least help us here? I've not been doing a great job. Can you help us at least focus in on something that Mike Gold Jr. and all of us who have been so excited to see this matchup between Notre Dame and Clemson can focus on? What is the key to the game? What do you think will impact winning much in this matchup?
You know, for Notre Dame, it's going to be, can you establish the run? You know, that's Notre Dame's bread and butter. Obviously, they have a huge offensive line, a strong, talented, very intelligent offensive line, guys that are really playing at a high level. So if you can establish that run and move some guys out of the way, Clemson is missing three really big pieces on defense, and James Skalski, the you know, leader there, senior leader at middle linebacker, Mike Jones, a linebacker that is very versatile and can do a lot of different things for you, and then maybe the most important piece, you know, defensive tackle Tyler Davis. So those three, in my opinion, are a bigger deal that they are out than Trevor Lawrence, just based on what we saw a week ago from DJ Uiagalelei. So I think if you can take advantage of that, if you're Notre Dame, if you can move that rock, you've got a really good chance to win. For Clemson, you know, on offense, it's just going against this great defense that Notre Dame has. You know, what are they going to try to take away? I really expect Notre Dame to load up the box to try and limit or contain Travis Etienne, and maybe even have Kyle Hamilton follow him around. You know, Travis is again, a guy that Clemson has moved all around the formations. They've spread him out wide. They put him in the slot. And then, of course, various lineups at running back. If he can get loose and if you forget where he is, they're going to take a big-time advantage of that. I would not be surprised at all if Travis is the leading receiver and rusher for Clemson tomorrow night.
That certainly would be the goal in my mind, because you've got a special, special player in that backfield, no doubt about it. Eric, we appreciate the time and the insight into a matchup that you got to live. We're looking forward to it this weekend. We're looking forward to talking to you again soon, man.
Thanks, Eric.
No doubt, buddy. Thank you all for having me on. Appreciate you guys.
Eric McLean, one of the great college football analysts over at the ACC Network. You can also check out McLean and Gramlich, the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, talking all things ACC. Chenang Golic Jr. reminding you, tune in for college football action tomorrow. Texas hosts West Virginia, presented by Goodyear. Coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But in all of this, Chenang, as we scenario the hell out of this game, as we check in on all the key factors, coming up next, I'll tell you why none of it might matter at the end of the day. We'll get to that next. It's Chenang Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenang Golic Jr., the podcast.
Hope everyone's dancing with us. We really needed that. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Chinay Ogwumike and Notre Dame. So I'm going to keep going with it. Mike Golic Jr., are you feeling better now? I feel like the answer is no, because we got some closure from Eric McClain talking about how, hey, you have something to focus on going into this matchup between Notre Dame and Clemson. But then you just spun around in a circle a million times.
So yeah, anyone who didn't see that on TV, I am very dizzy right now. I've resorted to chair dancing, and I tried to spin myself around as much as I could. I'm glad the chair didn't fall over. Nothing is hurt. More importantly, nothing is broken because I can't afford to fix it. But I am very dizzy now. Can't fully see the screen. So
I got it covered.
Chinesis, take the wheel.
I got it covered, and I see our producer Shannon like covering his face because you're talking about chair dancing, and it makes me think of Magic Mike. So clearly, the segment you'll be Magic Mike.
You know what? No. Fun fact, actually.
Is there a fun fact about Magic Mike?
I used to have a special dance that I would do in college anytime Pony cut on.
Oh gosh.
It was a little suggestive.
Now I have a question. Who was it for?
Oh,
we have
yeah.
to see it now. It's Friday. It's Too Damn Friday. We have to see it. We have to see it. I'm just the bachelor.
There's a lot of like hip gyrating that goes on here, and usually it works best. It works best if you get a leg up on the chair.
Okay, let's see it.
And then you just kind of got to work the hips into it a little bit.
Okay.
And then usually like you turn around, and then it's a lot of that.
It's a little twerk. It's a little pop, lock, and drop.
And then you grind a little bit back that way. All tends to get the job done.
Once again, Michael Jinger was talking about chair and dancing, yes. And it just was easy to bring that together in Magic Mike. So Magic Mike, you're going to be that guy this entire segment. So you have to do that whole dip. I'm just kidding. I know you're out of breath.
No, yeah. I was going to say the hamstring and the lower back aren't quite built the way they were when I was 21. So those things have come and gone, and sadly, I might have to... Nah, who am I kidding? I can't leave that in the past. Coming to a wedding near you at some point.
No, we should stay in the past. You're talking about 21-year-old you. 21-year-old you dressed up for the Clemson game, right? Notre Dame Clemson, you're a Notre Dame offensive lineman. And now, I want to first say that in a few minutes, we'll get you set for the weekend with the NFL slate by playing End Zone Friend Zone, where whether your favorite NFL player, NFL team, possibly even make it to the End Zone or Friend Zone, we'll dissect that. But, you know, speaking of your age, being 21, what is it, 9 years? Because you turned dirty 30 this year?
Yeah, 31 this year. So actually, I mean...
31? It's 10?
My last college football game for Notre Dame was in the BCS National Championship in 2012, that season culminating in the 2013 title game. So yeah, it's been a while, Chinay, since I've had to really be athletic in any meaningful way.
I can tell. We all, America learned that through that chair segment. But hey, it's A for effort, okay? A for effort. Now,
yes, I am out of breath, but again, like, Chinay and the sneak dissing that's gone on this week, when she just says, when I said, yeah, I haven't had to be athletic in a while, and immediately is, I can tell.
And I had...
No, we have unlocked her now.
You have. Good thing it's Friday, so I can, like, reset for the weekend. And, like, last time I did something athletic was about 5 hours ago. That's why I was, like, late coming to the show. But, hey, I digress.
Respect.
Okay, can we go back to this Clemson-Notre Dame game? Because I feel like we've really broke down every aspect of this right now, this week. But why don't we spin it forward? Because there's a world of possibilities that people probably haven't even thought about, especially when it comes to the ACC, based on Trevor Lawrence not playing, in the sense that, okay, we're going through this college football playoff lens with the eye test, right? Meaning it's okay if they possibly lose this game without their Heisman favorite-ish quarterback and still have an opportunity with the ACC championship game to possibly make it to the college football playoff. Now, there's a scenario that I think in which maybe Notre Dame could also follow in suit.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's possible for both of these teams. Like, I think the only thing, because takes either way this week, who there's more pressure on, who's more nervous, what's it going to take? Like, all of that ends up being subjective. The one thing that I don't think that you can say objectively is that either team is technically out of it after this weekend. Now, you could say, if Notre Dame loses to Clemson this weekend, and loses bad to Clemson this weekend, that
sorry,
the prospect...
Like, get your John King on. Like, give us the potential ways.
Yeah, the potential ways right here as I break this down
The path to victory.
Let me go right to St. Joseph's County here in northern Indiana and cue in live on South Bend in this one. Because if they lose big, yeah, it's going to be overwhelmingly unlikely that even if they were to win going up here in the next few games, they would make it to the ACC championship, that beating Clemson with then we hope their starting quarterback Trevor Lawrence back in tow would happen. But on the other side for Clemson, but it's still possible on that side. On the other side for Clemson, there certainly also exists a possibility. I think that's something Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football insider and reporter, kind of outlined very well earlier today.
The loser of this game cannot be eliminated. It's different this year for Notre Dame because they are a member of the ACC conference. You know, in years past, I talked to Brian Kelly after they lose and we have the same conversation. It's, you know, this is what it is when it's an independent. We understand we lose a game and we're almost out of the mix. Now they lose this game, they have a chance to compete for the ACC championship, just like Clemson. They have that point of redemption. The problem for Notre Dame with a loss is three of their next four games are on the road. So you have to rebound at Boston College, Friday at North Carolina, and then you end the season at Wake Forest, and that's just tricky to do. And then you have to try and beat Clemson again. So I think Notre Dame is under far more pressure than Clemson in this one, just because of the stretch that it faces to end the season.
And Janae, we know, we saw them play Boston College, Clemson last week. That game's going to be no pushover here. Those are good teams down the stretch Notre Dame is going to face. But this really is about, when we talked to Brian Kelly, he said they have been focusing on process over everything else, the way that they approach and do business, that sort of mentality that no matter who we play, it's about how we play. Well, in this instance, it's about finally getting a win in that spot too. Notre Dame has been close in plenty of these top end games and these top 10 opponents, but coming away with the win is the difference between what you think about yourself being true and what everyone else thinks about you starting to match up with that. This is a full-blown narrative game for Notre Dame. They're going to survive and go on and probably go on to what would be the equivalent of a double-digit win season in any normal year in the rest of this year. But your place in the college football pantheon, which is the only thing people want to talk about with Notre Dame, and I understand why, that's what's at stake.
But we have to get to the field if we're going to talk about that. And just briefly, if you talk about the field, it's Alabama. You've got Georgia, even though off of one loss. And then even Fitz came on earlier this week while you were on the call for college football analysis. And he brought up the idea of Cincinnati. I feel like that's a really delicate tightrope that Notre Dame would have to be on.
It would. And that's why the how in this game matters so much more for Notre Dame. Let's put it this way. No matter the outcome in this, Clemson will have a chance to redeem themselves because their star quarterback's out, a human committee can see that, and they can still win it big in the ACC championship game and erase that. Were Notre Dame to lose big and you already have that human perception, now BYU, who we're going to watch play tonight, who's undefeated and ranked 9th in the country, that Cincinnati team that you mentioned, and another SEC team, maybe the Florida or Georgia winner from this weekend, you're right, are all in the mix. So you have a rare opportunity in college football in this day and age to control your own destiny this weekend if you're Notre Dame. And so I think the you know what, Chanae, it's we've lived this time and time again with Notre Dame, and they've got to prove it to everyone, but I think most importantly, prove it to themselves in this instance. I mentioned I was on a lot of bad teams where we're a 500 team, and when we would get down, when something would go wrong, you could kind of see the look of, oh man, here we go again in that spot. You've got to find a way to break through that, and I think this group has what it takes to be the one that breaks through and creates a building block for every other Notre Dame team going forward to look at and say, no, we know we got this. We've got this ridiculous record against top five teams out of the stat column for us.
I love it when you give therapy to yourself in a segment.
I have to love myself even if no one else will at certain times during this week. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. All right, speaking of loving yourself, loving everybody else, it's time to figure out who's going to get some love this weekend in the NFL. We play End Zone or Friend Zone next after this word from DraftKings.
You see, there's no better place to get in on all of the football action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings daily fantasy app now and use code CJR. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code CJR to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. A minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We made it. Remind yourself that today and every day coming up, we're still here. We made it. Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here with you on this Good Friday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, in a few minutes, we will keep that same energy start to finish. But first, we got to play some games because we've got games coming up in the NFL, Junior.
We do. We got big matchups coming up this weekend. If you mentioned, it feels like a long one. It feels like every day the story in the NFL has been about who's not on the practice field or whose facility is not open because of COVID-19, and getting back to the games this weekend feels like a welcome respite for everybody. And so, let's figure out who's going to do what this weekend. Play a little end zone, friend zone. As millennials, one of the greatest triumphs in life is watching someone make it out of the friend zone. You're hoping, wishing.
You're strategizing.
And that's what we're going to try and do here this weekend. We want to get everyone ready for this weekend in the NFL.
End zone or friend zone.
Let you know who's going to end up in the friend zone or the end zone when it comes to this NFL Sunday.
Friend zone to the
end zone. End zone, friend zone, Chinay, is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van. Find out how far an extra mile really goes, from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. All right, Chinay, you ready? Get started. Friend zone, end zone. Let's get the first game.
Seahawks and Bills.
Seahawks, Bills this weekend, Chinay, a team that in the AFC East feels like finally it's in the driver's seat. The Buffalo Bills, Christine Lisi, our fine SportsCenter update anchors, very own, against the Seahawks and the presumptive MVP and Russell Wilson. End zone, friend zone, who you got?
And you named it right there, presumptive MVP in the end zone. I'm going to keep it with Russell Wilson, not for the reasons you expect. What we expect right here is what we said. The front runner for the MVP award with the league-high 26 touchdown passes, just one shy of Tom Brady's record from 2007 for the most through seven games in NFL history. Really the end zone, because what we saw from Russell Wilson this week, he filed a trademark for, quote, let Russ cook, because that's what he's been doing better than everyone else.
My God. Finally gone corporate with the movement that started in Seahawks Twitter. Wholesome place. Tell them to bring me my money.
Bring my money. What you got?
Never going to hate on anyone for getting in their bag right there. I'm going to go end zone, and I'm actually going to go on his side and go with Tyler Lockett. And I know I've gone to the well on this one before, but hear me out. The Seahawks, for all they do well on offense, and that Russ-Tyler Lockett matchup is incredible. 26th in the league in third down percentage right now. Not the best area. Room for improvement. Maybe you don't see it as often because of big plays, but you're going up against the Buffalo Bills, who are ranked 30th in defensive third down percentage this season. If you've got a chance to get off it, it's with a defense that's underperformed. And in those situations, quarterbacks tend to default to the matchups they trust most, and I believe that is Tyler Lockett for this team.
I like that.
What do we got next?
Ravens and Colts.
Ravens-Colts this weekend, Chinay. A battle of stellar defenses in this one. Phillip Rivers and the Colts taking on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Who you got here, Chinay? End zone.
I really like this one because this allows me an opportunity to be petty, okay? In the end zone, I'm going to go with Marquise Hollywood Brown, okay? Because, okay, obviously, he's been targeted 44 times this season, which ranks 45th in the NFL, right? Which is why, after their last game, he tweeted, "Why have soldiers if you're not going to use them?" Well, Lamar Jackson said, "Heard you." He was quoted as saying, "I have to do a better job of getting to him." So now, you know, you look at a situation where, okay, sometimes you're feeling in your emotions, you're Hollywood Brown, but at the same time, these guys have come together, and I think that synergy will help them versus the Colts.
I tend to agree, Chinay. I know with the offensive line injuries that they've had that a lot of people are looking at the Ravens right now with a great deal of concern, especially going up a defense as talented as the one the Indianapolis Colts have. But I'm going to go on the other side, and I'm going to go friend zone Phillip Rivers. This feels like one of those games, and shout out to our own Mina Kimes earlier, who I saw do a great impression of the Phillip Rivers sideline interception face in this game. And this just seems like one that's built up for what we've seen time and time again in the NFL. The Colts down late, or should I say a Phillip Rivers team down late, with a chance to win it in a game that's ultimately ended on a Phillip Rivers turnover. It just seems to have all the makings of that kind of energy, especially knowing what an incredible defense and secondary the Ravens have.
Agreed.
All right, what do we got?
Saints at Buccaneers.
Saints-Bucks, Chinay, obviously we've talked about this one ad nauseum leading up in this week. Antonio Brown reinstated for the Buccaneers. The Saints also getting some help at wide receiver as well, though. So who you got in this one, end zone or friend zone?
I've been so vulnerable and open with everyone, and I feel I have to come clean, okay? I'm putting Antonio Brown, obviously, in the friend zone because why do I have to explain? For obvious reasons. It's been 420 days when we talk about football since he's last played, and a lot of people are excited to, you know, have him out there, and I have to come clean because I put him on my fantasy team. I'm 1-7, and I don't like this. But again, when we're making football decisions, I guess I err on the side of the Bucks.
I don't know if you can be friends with me after this, but it is what it is.
No, listen,
I'm putting myself in the friend zone. That was my whole point.
This is the but Chinee, I think what you just did there is indicative of the predicament for a lot of people this weekend who are going to feel that anxiety in watching this game. And so I think it's something we acknowledge. It's something that's having to be acknowledged on the field for these teams right now. And we mentioned this before. We've spent so much time talking about this that I want to read some news from the other side. We mentioned Michael Thomas listed as questionable, but it seems likely, according to sources telling our own ESPN insider Diana Russini, that it seems likely that Michael Thomas might be back on the field, as well as Emmanuel Sanders, who was reinstated this week from the reserve COVID-19 list after missing the previous two games. They've also got backup wide receiver Marquez Callaway in this instance. So I'm going to go end zone, and I'm actually going to go Emmanuel Sanders on this one, because I think when you brought him to this offense, it was the full totality of it. It was Alvin Kamara dominating touches in the short and intermediate. It was Michael Thomas buying up the attention, all the targets he had last year. You brought Emmanuel Sanders there to win for you in key situations, and I feel like if the Saints are going to get the season sweep on the Bucs, it's going to have to do in large part because of Emmanuel Sanders stepping up in those key spots like he's done when Michael Thomas was out.
How do you feel about me putting myself in the friend zone?
Listen, I've lived in the friend zone for long enough in life, Chinee, that I can appreciate the company down here. So welcome. Okay. We've been expecting
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, what's our last one up here, guys?
Number one Clemson.
Number one Clemson.
And number four,
and
Notre,
number four
Dame.
Notre Dame.
Okay.
Wow, that's
this
incredible
one's easy.
Production value.
Because we are work wife and work husband, I'm putting Notre Dame in the end zone for the win. I'm rooting for you, Junior.
There we go. That's what we need around here. Because you know what, Chinee? We spend so Yelly. Much of our time around here being objective analysts and doing the job. Michael Mayer, Notre Dame freshman tight end. They nickname him Baby Gronk. Might be a bit premature on that, but I don't care. Let's get big in the middle of the field this weekend, and let's get this dub, something like 24-21, Notre Dame end zone, book it.
We're biased here on this one day.
On this yes! one day, we have earned this opportunity. We deserve this opportunity.
That was fun. I was holding that like in the whole time. Like, when do I tell you? How do I feel about this? I'm 1-7. This really stinks. It's different when you're at the top of your division in the NFC. But hey, I'm one. You know, sorry, I'm working through some things.
I was gonna say you're tweeting through it right now verbally, which seems like a backwards thing to say, but it is what it is. That was End Zone Friend Zone. It was brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. All right, coming up next. It has been a week. We all need, realistically, we all need a drink.
Yes!
We can't give that to you next, but we can get that energy up going into your Friday, and we'll do that. It's Chinee Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Angola Jr., the podcast.
Plays between the pick six on Lamar Jackson and also the stop on Derrick Henry. I'm sure, like, if that happened to me, I'm done. I'm a pancake on the road. We also have to spread some love to our big bro, Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst and also co-host of NFL Live, who joined us and told us who the best receiver is in the NFL right now. He mentioned two other guys, so I think he's still a little bit confused, but still, that was actually really interesting. And we also
there are a lot of answers involved in that one. I'm not exactly sure who the best is, but
listen to the guys in the ballpark. Of the best receiver in the NFL. And of course, we really enjoyed our conversation with Eric McLean of ACC Network and also the former Clemson lineman, who told us the one thing you need to watch for in this matchup between ND and Clemson on Saturday. You can catch all of those conversations, in case you missed it, on the Chinee Angola Jr. podcast.
Wherever you get your podcast. It's great stuff. You should check that out. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shallow Pennzoil Performance Line. And like you said, Chinee, man oh man, has it been a week. And we don't know when it's going to end or if we are just going to watch in perpetuity John King do touchscreen segments until the end of time. But until we get to that point, we have got plenty in the world of sports that is worth celebrating, plenty of things we want to get to. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golick Jr.
And Chinee, I feel like in keeping that same energy, this is probably one that you should get to read here. A pretty awesome moment for something that you were a part of.
Yes, yes. So today, the WNBPA, the WNBA's Players Association, is the first and longest standing union for professional women athletes, celebrating its 22nd anniversary. Hashtag bet on women. So yes, I'm a member of that union. I am vice president. And yeah, we're still standing strong. We're going to stand forever. I mean, it just is amazing to be a part of this family. And I'm proud that we are consistently moving the game forward on and off the court.
It is. It's beyond impressive. And anyone we've talked to, especially in a year where we've seen so much leadership from athletes, they have always pointed the W and said, you guys have been about this life for a while.
Should we shout out the president of that union?
I feel like it's only right that we give like the ultimate leader in all this. She's an MVP, champion in the W.
That can make me cry on the spot.
It's a fair point. And the only person, like, none of us on this show can, after the other day when Chiney brought up her resume on here, Nneka Ogwumike is the only resume that might be able to come up here and have words with what Chiney put in all of our faces yesterday.
Oh, big facts. Yes, correct.
So shout out to Nneka, shout out to you.
Shout out to producer Shannon for finding that.
That is true. I was going to say, Shannon stays ready with the WNBA info and facts. He is so about it. Chiney, another cool note here. We talk about being a family show all the time, and we've had a lot of father-son moments on here for you, moments with your family, moments with your sister. We've also had moments like we had last weekend with Joe Tess getting to call his son having a great play in the Boston College game. Well, we had a pretty interesting moment here. Shedeur Sanders flipped his commitment from FAU to Jackson State University, which, in addition to being a high-profile recruit going to an HBCU, also happens to be coached by Deion Sanders, his father, who has taken over there now. So a pretty cool moment. Father getting son to come over and commit to his program, and a son getting to play for his dad in that spot.
Yeah, I've always wondered. I've had a mom that's been my assistant principal, and that ain't easy. And so I just wonder, and I had a teammate by the name of Jocelyn Tinkle out in Montana, from Montana, and her little brother Trace played for the father, and so at Oregon State. So I always think that's interesting when that happens. I'm like, do you get treated better or worse or harder, all that type of stuff? But hey, it's a good look for families to stick together.
It does have to be very interesting. We're getting ready. We've talked so much about Notre Dame and Clemson facing off this weekend. Jake Venables playing defense for Brett Venables. You can go ahead and guess how that one works out there. But for you're right, you never know if that's going to be one of those situations where all of a sudden you're having dinner and mom and everyone else are there and dad brings up some sort of check that you missed on third down and all of a sudden maybe we're squaring off over mac
Imagine
and cheese.
Imagine when your sister beats you for the first 4 years of career and we sit and eat meals and everyone rewatches the games.
Chiney,
that's what happens.
On a much low. See, you get
I still
that.
Got buckets though, so that was cool.
We know one sport. Thing about Chiney, you are a walking, living, breathing bucket. We have established that.
Very true. Is that all we got?
Well, keeping that same energy, I figured I'd give people the update last night. We finally did it. It finally happened. I'm not talking about the Green Bay Packers beating the San Francisco 49ers. I'm talking about we finally got Claire up out of the paint here. The Bachelorette season so far has been a rough watch there. I'm happy that Claire found love. No spoilers around here. Not going to tell you exactly how that happens. But we did finally get the tease that we've been looking for. Tayshia getting ready to take over as the Bachelorette for the rest of the season. The most shocking, controversial season of all time. Chiney, why are you making faces?
I'm not happy she found love. What?
Well, we want everyone to find love.
Yeah, no! I guess. Okay. Yeah, I'm happy you found love. You deserve it. Absolutely.
Maybe one of us is happy.
But if things don't work out, I'll have my notifications ready.
And there is where the interests come out here. Dale, listen, I can't tell you what to do. I can only tell you what you should probably do in this situation. We made it. We'll leave that out there. Again, we know it's been a long, hard week for a lot of people. Sending a lot of love and good vibes to some people that have had a rough week. We'll all find a way to get through this together. We'll be back next week to try and do it with you yet again. It's Chiney Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz coming up next.
Thanks for listening to Chiney Ogwumike Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.